Chapter 11. Spoiler. A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas. In this chapter, we'll tell you all about our favorite characters to our least favorite ones. We'll talk about mating bonds, family, and sacrifices. In this chapter, we also have our mutual friend Selma joining us for this episode, where each of us will express what this series means to us, and explain why we will never be the same again after reading A Court of Mist and Fury. My name is Nesma. Turn the page.
Hello and welcome to another chapter of Between the Pages. Today we have our friend Selma.
Dun, da, da, da. Yep, as you heard it, I am here.
She's here for another episode because she's read Court of Mist and Fury, and you know, we just have a lot of things to say.
Yeah, and I can't get enough.
So Selma didn't join us for a Court of Thrones and Roses because
very good reason for that. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I loved the first book, but nothing compares to my immense love for the second. It's like pools and pools of love for the second book.
I totally feel the same. I am someone who read this book for the third time, and it's still my favorite in the trilogy or series to come.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I get
where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if we just start the whole series with the second book, like, I wouldn't complain or anything. It's just that good, it makes up for everything.
Yeah, but of course you need context of what happened under the mountain.
Yeah, yeah. And to see how Feyre has developed and has grown into the person she is now.
Mm-hmm. And for me, this chapter is my favorite yet because I can finally talk about what I couldn't say last chapter with the Court of Thorns and Roses. It was horrible, and I don't want this to happen again. We're never doing a series that I read as a whole again.
Hey, torture. Come on.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a cheek headache afterwards from holding everything in.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing you the day after. Your face hurt from overlapping.
Yeah. But honestly, I had the most fun.
Oh, yeah, because you were
I'm the only one who hasn't read the series.
Mm-hmm.
You two have read the series.
Oh, we've been begging you for how long? Missy, come on.
Well, I've read it now. I'm still on the third book. I don't have all the knowledge that you guys have, but it was still an interesting journey exploring all the events and stories. Even from your guys' perspectives, it's like your excitement. So I was really into the whole what's gonna happen next, and that you already know what's gonna happen next, and that was very interesting. It wasn't on the same level of us reading together and trying to find out the things together. No, you guys already knew everything. So whatever I said, you had to shut up and keep it in, you know? I was like, are they gonna end up together? No answer.
Dude.
Are they not gonna end up together? No answer.
Do you know how hard that is for us?
It wasn't. From my perspective, it was just fun. It was
watching
fun.
You torture us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a fish out of water that can't take a breath.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true, yeah.
And people, this girl is jealous because we read the series before her.
Yeah, I am. I'm so jealous. I'm so pissed that I didn't get to read it first. You know,
just how
I feel like I should have been the first one to read it and tell you guys, because that's like the usual that happens.
Yeah,
I'm always the one who's recommending reads, and then you guys read it, isn't it?
We can debate
mostly.
That.
Or we used to read stuff at the same time,
all the time.
But this book.
I was just late to the party, I guess.
Very late. 2 years late. 1 year late. Something like that.
I think it's the perfect timing. Come on.
Because
I got the
never.
Series. Yeah, it's better late than ever. That's true. I got the series, okay, and I haven't I only had the first book, and I didn't have the second or the third. So I just didn't want to start reading the first one without having the second or the third. Like,
Which makes sense.
I'll just leave myself hanging. And it made total sense. Like, once I finished the first one, I had to grab the second one immediately. Like, yeah. I couldn't leave the story alone.
I can't think of the people who, like, read the book year after year, waiting for the next book.
That must have been how torture.
Yes, like, would feel like. My heart goes to you guys.
You guys are awesome. The patience you have is just, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, A Court of Mist and Fury.
What does this mean?
Like, in the previous book, Court of Thorns and Roses, so yeah, the Spring Court.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this book is mostly in the Night Court. So yeah, there is a lot of mist hanging in the air.
That makes sense.
Isn't it like when you're on a mountain, there's a lot of mist and fog and like the air is thin and...
Mm-hmm. She's above clouds.
Not necessarily.
No, in his castle, it's so high.
It's not house, above it's clouds. Not
it's, I mean, the house.
It's high. It's on the top of the mountain, yeah.
So it would make sense that it would be misty up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Fury.
The Fury.
Who
Fury.
Do you think this
Fury this refers pointer. To? Yeah. I guess it refers to Rhysand.
Really?
Yeah, because he has a lot of fury inside him that he can't have Farrah, and that Tamlin was there first, and that he feels like he doesn't deserve to be loved, and there's all this anger inside him of what happened to him with Amarantha, and like this whole thing that happened to Farrah herself and changing her. Oh my God!
And the situations they're in it. Makes him very angry.
Okay. Like. I just remembered something that I wanted to ask you guys.
Go ahead.
I just remembered. Okay, that was such a good question. Okay, do you think Farrah? I know they were mates before that. Okay, but I mean, you can be mates and still not accept that bond. You can still refuse. Okay, so do you think Farrah and Rhysand would have ended up together if what had happened to Farrah under the mountain didn't happen?
If she wasn't damaged
and had been destroyed and all that, because they did bond over the pain, you know, they did bond over all these gory experiences, and that's what brought her to Rhysand in the first place, and that's how he saved her from herself with the mental connection, with the tattoo on her hand and everything. So in my head, I was like, if that hadn't happened, would she still have ended up with Rhysand? Truly, answer honestly.
That is a really good question. And I think I thought of it before, but like, haven't reached a proper conclusion.
Yeah.
I think I'll have to reach it now.
I think they would. Because, okay, so nothing happened under the mountain. Feyre told Tamlin that she loves him, the curse is broken. And nothing happens, but they still met on Kellan May and still...
Okay, still meet,
and
she'll know about the bond, I mean, about the mate thing, but she won't, like, do you think she'll still choose him? Because she hasn't gone through what's under the mountain, so she's still the old Farrah, the innocent, dependent, and weak, fragile Farrah. Do you think they would have ended up together?
Yeah. I don't think what she had with Tamlin was...
real.
Forever. Like...
Okay, I don't know. Maybe not in the... the thing is... So if she hadn't been broken, and if she just broke the curse by telling Tamlin that she loves him, I feel like that would put... everything in a completely different course.
Yeah, that's true.
Thing is, like, you know the type of person Feyre is she's the loyal person. Okay, so now that she's broken the curse, she told Tamlin that she loves him, and she starts to believe it. If Tamlin had locked her up then, maybe she would have gone to Rhysand, which I'm pretty sure, yeah, she will probably end up with Rhysand.
Okay, but speaking again, if he had locked her up, it wouldn't have had such a mental trauma
if she hadn't been broken.
If he hadn't been broken under the mountain.
Feyre is...
It would just be something bad.
Feyre is fire. She's a free spirit. You can't lock or contain a free spirit.
This is true. Yeah. Rhysand would have come in knowing she's his mate. He'll try to get her. In a way.
But he said he would have left her knowing she was happy with Tamlin. I think in that case that would change everything.
Yes, like, but he would come around, tease her.
Play coy.
Go back to the night court. You know?
Yeah. Okay, but
Rhysand is Rhysand.
That still doesn't necessarily say that they would end up together.
I'm pretty
like maybe
sure.
She would think he's playful, he's hot, he's like he's like moving something within me, but would she leave Tamlin for him?
Once she realizes Tamlin's faults. The thing is, hadn't she been broken, she wouldn't have realized his faults
exactly
right ahead.
That's
so
what I mean.
I'm saying is, maybe if it hadn't been the way it happened, where Sarah J. Maas had written it, she wouldn't end up with Rhysand in the second book, but maybe in the third book. Because I believe that she knows that something is up
that
with
because
Tamlin,
they're mates, they're just destined to be together.
Yes, and like then there's still the war and the king and everything.
The Highburn King, yeah.
Yeah, the Highburn King.
So she's not broken now, but she will be later. And when she's broken, you know who's going to mend her. Actually, he didn't really mend her. That's the thing. They don't belong to each other. They don't complete each other. They just enhance each other. They enhance one another. And I think that is purely magical or like purely beautiful. Because you don't belong to a person. People don't belong to people. They just enhance each other. And once
that's
you
true. They get, help each other grow and be the better version of themselves.
Yes. So that he doesn't he's not the sole reason for your growth, but he's a contributor to it.
Yeah. I guess.
You help
give
yourself.
Her the space and the
time to breathe.
The time.
That's
yes,
what she needed.
The family.
The family.
Yeah.
I guess from here we can take each character that we have something to say about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And take them one by one and just talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just take the bad and get it out of the way.
Please.
We'll start with Tamlin.
Isma, what are your thoughts about fella Tamlin?
Hello, Tamlin.
Hi, Lord of the Spring Court.
Oh, the spring that is so out of me.
We had a discussion, me and you, Salma and I.
Yes.
We had a discussion.
It got heated pretty fast.
Pre-recording. We didn't record it. But we definitely weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of understood each other. Like, there were reasons for each other's thoughts. So my thought is that Tamlin, we shouldn't be as angry as it's easy to hold on to anger when you think of Tamlin because he's the evil guy. He's the one who ruined Feyre.
Not necessarily evil, just toxic.
The toxic guy. Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, he's the toxic person. So for me, as a literature person, I always go towards understanding a character rather than just straight up judging them, you know, like giving them a label or whatever. So for me, Tamlin is a much deeper person than he's portrayed. Like, he is portrayed in a deeper version, but the idea is that he comes forth as a toxic, clingy person, and that he is that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying
of
that
course.
Fact.
Yes.
He is. He's terrible with Feyre.
See?
I think we can all agree. We can all agree on that. But I think we shouldn't just rush to the negative side of him and see that he's actually a damaged character as well. And he's coping with his feelings in a different way than other people would.
Yeah.
He, instead of on focusing on himself and his own issues and his own mental problems, he clings to Feyre thinking that she can fix him. Like, if I have her, I'll be fine.
Yeah, but not her actively fixing him. Like, he won't let her get in, you know?
Yeah.
In his head or...
That's true, yeah.
Or, like, in what he's thinking or feeling or anything.
Because he doesn't want to talk about it. He distracts himself more physically with her, like, bodily distraction, rather than emotionally talking about his problems. And that's literally what Feyre is. He's like a
She's like a
the plaything.
No, it's not plaything because he loves her, but in a toxic way.
Yes. Okay, I'll tell you what. For sure, Tamlin had a lot of beautiful moments that left our hearts racing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like and a first love kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. But like...
But it ended badly.
It ended really badly. Like,
yes.
Think of it from the aspect of the fact that he was caging her for his own good, not for hers.
Yes.
Even though he claims that it is for hers. But no, then again, he also tells her that if anything happens to her, that would affect him negatively. So it's... He's not based... What he's doing here is that...
He's not separating her from him.
Yeah, as so a person. One.
Yes.
Yes. He's making her a part of him.
That's what...
And
maybe it just makes him feel better about himself having someone to protect in a way, even if they don't need protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in a sense, it just makes him feel better as a person. And Farrah just happens to be that person that he can cling to, you know? It's just... A sad accident.
Well, tell you what. For Tamlin, I feel like he feels as if
like he can't live without her.
Yes. He's hollow. He's missing a part of
Yes, and he's filling that void with a person.
With Farrah. But the thing is, he's choosing the wrong person. Because as you can see, Farrah does not enhance Tamlin, but she is a distraction. And sometimes that is what you need, a distraction. But once you realize that this distraction is not filling you up, why cage it? Why keep it? Why not?
I think it's just because he's afraid of confronting his own problems.
Yes.
He doesn't want to deal with his problems.
Mm.
Because I think this goes back to Under the Mountain. Because maybe he feels guilty that he didn't protect her under the mountain the way he should have. So he's like making up for it after.
Which does not make sense.
Yeah.
At all.
No, it doesn't.
Speaking of which, like, Tamlin at the Tith, wasn't that a red line enough? The way he reacted when Farrah did the right thing, giving those water wreaths, the bracelet, was that a crime? Like, the way he reacted, I feel like that was, like, a no-no. Like, once this happened, I'm like, okay, Tamlin...
When he was so cruel.
Have you not seen like his reaction? Yes, when Farrah gave them her bracelet or necklace, I don't really remember. His reaction was like, "Why would you do that?" And her answer was so logical. Like, I got plenty of those. What am I doing with them? I don't even wear one of them twice. Like, it does not make sense that you ask for this thing. When we already have everything covered and you're just drowning me in those jewelries.
I mean, you're right. You're totally right. That's like one of the warning signs for, as a reader, if you're reading that point, it's like, it's total red flags. But I think from Tamlin's perspective, it was like kind of, if you give her, then we need to give everyone else. Like, if you take it as from a ruler's perspective, if you give one person a necklace... Why should, like, then the others will start asking, why shouldn't we get the same treatment as well? Why does only she get the privilege?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I feel like...
But I totally agree, like, his reaction is not cool at all.
Yeah, so cruel. I did not like that.
Yeah.
Which takes us to the next... Farrah and who she is and what she has become.
Yeah, who she revealed to be.
Yeah.
Usually, I'm not a big fan of any of the lead female, like, characters in any book ever. But when it comes to Farrah, it hits a soft spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because
She's been through so much.
Yes, and the strength she has. She was actually very inspirational for me. Because, I mean, who hasn't been in a dark place before? And has seen the reflection in a character... By any means. It doesn't have to be necessarily the same thing, but you can relate to that specific character on a different level. And for me, Farrah kind of was that specific character.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any sense of like, yeah, I was in a bad place or whatever, but like, you know, you got those days where you don't feel all right. And like, you don't tell anybody, you know? And like in this moment when I was reading this book and like I knew Farah's state of mind and how she was dealing with it, I'm like, no, honey, we need to reach out.
Give me a number, girl.
Yes. And her way of recovery was very inspirational. Like, so many things about this book were so inspirational on a different level, I feel. So yeah, Farah was this type of character that was this breeze on a very hot summer day where, yeah, it has been hot and it has been suffocating for a very long time, but then you wait and the breeze comes.
Yeah. Know?
The breeze will come. So that was Farah.
And in this and in this book, she's very different from the first one.
Yes.
She's been under the mountain. She's out. So she's dealing with all of that. And Damlin clearly isn't helping. And then Reese shows up. The favorite moment.
Yes.
Hello, Farah, darling.
Hello, Farah, darling. I mean, despite everything.
The wedding scene, you mean.
Yeah, the wedding scene.
Yeah, I love how she pulled herself together. I love how she does it. She does it so elegantly and with such power that just leaves you in like, maybe she could have done this all by herself. She actually did all of this by herself. She just, you know when you're just sitting there and you can't fully get up, you just need someone to lend you a hand, but all they're doing is just lending you a hand and you just do the job of just bouncing up. That's basically what's been going on between Farah and Rhysand, which is why I so love the relationship. It's not the cliche type or the
not really, no.
Yeah,
I mean, it is kind of the generic, more modern kind of relationships. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, he's watching her modern, thrive on her own.
Modern thinking. And I guess Townlin is more of the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
And it's not in a sense, yani, it's still traditional because it's like,
because it occurs a lot. Been treating her like the damsel in distress.
Yeah. Which, no, but I mean, Rhysand's thinking is also traditional.
In some sorts.
Because it's like the new modern way of thinking where, you know, women don't need men and blah, blah, blah.
No, I never said that. Like, she didn't. Yes, she needed him. That's why she loves him.
He's more of the home she didn't know she had and she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And she just went into it without knowing, and then she knows, and then she realizes she can rest, she can, I don't know, like,
be comfortable.
Yes, not comfortable. She doesn't want comfort. She just wants
not in that sense life. But comfort in her mind, like, he's soothing.
Look, what I understand from Farah's character is, like, she doesn't like to be cushioned and protected. She wants to know the bad of everything. She wants to have the knowledge, even if it's not for her benefit.
She's not.
She doesn't
want
to be left out the loop, you know? Yeah. She doesn't like to be, to have decisions made for her, even if those decisions were made for her convenience or her, for wanting to protect her, because wanting to protect her is not a bad thing, but it's like she wants to, she needs the knowledge that someone is actually protecting her, you know? Like when Tamlin kept leaving the house and going everywhere.
He didn't tell her that he was doing it for her. Yes. It's just, you stay here, you'll be safe. I'm out.
If he had told her he was going out to leave the house to help her, to protect her. Yes, I know that leaving her behind was the biggest mistake of all, but it also, like, added a very bad perspective that he didn't tell her why he was leaving. Like, why is that such a bad thing? Why do you have to keep that to yourself? Like, just tell the poor woman.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, when in any series or in any book ever where the character is blamed and they don't defend themselves. Like, dude, just tell her why you were doing it. Just tell her.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't have made a difference.
That would have changed so much.
The relationship, yeah.
So much.
Yeah, but he didn't. He couldn't. Because he thinks in a way, I'm protecting her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need to know because I'm protecting her. Mm. And that's exactly what she doesn't like. She doesn't like being protected without her knowledge. You know, it's not the protecting thing per se itself.
She's not on the protecting thing.
Yeah, she doesn't mind being protected. But it's like this whole, let me decide if I need your protection or not. You know,
that's how you that's give like someone the kind voice. Of
right.
Yeah, it's yeah. always the choice.
The choice.
Yes. The choice. Yes. And Rhysand grasped that.
Yes. He gives her the choice. Yeah.
Oh my God, he just destroyed my expectations for any guy.
But ever. There were moments where he was truly dying inside, where he actually wanted her to stay behind.
Yeah. Yes.
And
but he controlled himself for her.
He did. Yes. That's how such a lovely, lovely statement.
Okay. Third.
Rhysand. Beautiful Rhysand. Rhysand, darling.
Hello, Rhysand, darling.
Music to my ears. His name is Music to my ears.
Yeah.
Like you said, Salma, this guy destroyed
our expectations.
Yes, I mean.
Expectations what? I mean,
no guy could reach to his level ever.
No matter how hard you try. But he does it in a very subtle way that kind of, it's not overly exaggerated, it's like what this is what should happen, but this is what never happens, or like really, you know, I mean, I don't hear stories about people being like Rhysand, but wouldn't it be magical if like it was the case?
Yeah
Thing is, his character has so many layers, and the fact that he has to put this facade on, like those masks on, like not reveal his true self.
I mean, he's the most the dreamiest of them all.
I know.
That's true.
He is the High Lord of the Night Court, and what I like about it that he understands that different kind of darkness, and he chooses the good darkness.
Yes, that's so beautifully said. Exactly. Yes. That is beautifully said.
That literally sums up Rhysand in one sentence.
Beautiful darkness. You know, the comforting darkness. Where you literally put yourself, your own, in darkness to purify your soul.
Soothe and...
Yes.
Everything. I mean, we need darkness to sleep. You know, like, that's not the bad kind of darkness.
No.
You know, you surround yourself with darkness so you can be at peace.
And with darkness comes stars, and with night
comes Rhysand.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely Rhysand. You know,
Rhysand, I just had this thought about Rhysand where, you know, this Shakespeare quote where the world is a stage and
Every man is an actor.
Yes, and playing his parts. Yes. They have their entrances and their exits. That's Rhysand. He's just playing the part that everyone wants him to play.
Did we talk about this before? Me and you?
No.
Oh, wow. Deja vu.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. Deja vu. Wow, you made me lose a track of what I was saying.
You made her lose the thread. Get back to it.
So, like, the Shakespearean plaything.
Plaything.
Oh, gosh. There we go.
So, yes, he's playing the part that everybody wants him to play. What?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Keep going, please.
When you said plaything, I just had Amarantha's whore in my head. Nothing. Never mind. Keep talking.
Yeah, he played that part too, you know? Just to keep his city safe, his people safe. Even to lessen the burden of the other High Lords. I mean...
That's true, yeah.
Yes, and he hides...
So much pain.
Yeah, so much pain.
But then that brings us back to Farah, because that's a similarity between them where they could... bond over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really like that, bonding over pain instead of, like, bonding over good memories or this, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of different kind of bonding. It's like, more deeper. Yes.
More vulnerable.
More vulnerable.
When you're exposed, you know? That's how you get to truly know a person.
And regarding your question before,
it's... Yeah.
whether they be together or not, I mean, with the darkness or not, they are made for each other, so...
That's true.
They would bond over anything.
I don't doubt that they belong together. It was just a thought that I had in mind. I know that the strongest thing that was between them was him healing her from her pain, okay? Yes. And it was like this connection between them because... Again, he kind of saved her a little, like, in a way. He rescued her.
I'm not against that.
So, if he hadn't rescued her, there wouldn't have been this shift in their relationship. I guess their shift would have occurred in a different way.
Or the shift of him, her not seeing her, the monsters he wants her to see,
yes,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Okay, what do you have here?
There's one sentence, because when you reminded me of how recent, like, his relationship with Farah and stuff like that,
yeah.
There's this one moment where I feel like it sums up their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Farah's personality and Reason's reaction to her being, you know, yeah, basically.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in page 577, and I realized how badly I'd been treated before. If my standards had become so low, if the freedom I'd been granted felt like a privilege and not an inherent right. Reese's eyes darkened, and I knew he read what I thought, felt. You might be my mate, he said, but you remain your own person.
Oh,
you
my
decide
God.
Your fate, your choices, not me. You chose yesterday, you choose every day, forever.
Oh, yes, and that, maybe that sums it up.
And maybe he only understood because he too had been helpless and without choices, had been forced to do such horrible things and locked up. I threaded my fingers through his... Yeah, there was another moment where she said, for what he just said, I fell in love with him all over again or something like that. I don't think it was this moment. It was another one,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was another one. I can't remember what it was.
But
this moment tells you everything about the relationship.
Yes. And their relationship, I believe, is the most balanced relationship there is in any book ever.
Yeah.
And their relationship, I feel, is like the most balanced relationship in the world. There couldn't be anything like it. I don't know.
Nothing suppresses that.
Of them being, yes, their own person, of being equals, of... I don't know.
That's exactly how any woman or any man should expect to be loved. You're not property. Actually, you can belong to each other, but not in the sense of possessiveness, mm-hmm, but in the sense of...
Don't go out and date other people.
No!
That's basically what owning means. Like,
Yeah. No.
In the sense of belonging to another person.
Yes, like your mind and all the beauty and destruction that comes with it is understood by this person.
Yes.
And your heart is only beating for this person. That's the sense of ownership that people should go for instead of the, mm-hmm, possessive, aggressive, oppressive.
What Those else? Are a lot of adjectives.
I know, and a lot of ifs.
And I remember in our Carve the Mark episode when you said when you know something more about a person that it kind of entitles you to that bond between you two. So it's like, this person belongs to me because I know things about them that no one else knows.
Yeah, they chose to be vulnerable with you,
yes,
and they did so, yes, for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because they want to be kept by you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Okay, let's take this relationship from beginning till end in this book. No end, thankfully. Anyway, I mean, like, from how it started, the little sparks, the little things that happened, and then your favorite things that happen. I don't know.
Okay.
So, hello, Farah darling.
That was, okay, this moment in the book was what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
I did not know how much I needed this moment until it came. Like, okay, at the time, we didn't really realize that Resand is the, well, I mean, we had our doubts that he was the good guy, but we weren't 100%
More like
sure.
Hopes.
Yes. We weren't 100% sure that we can actually fully trust Resand. But the moment where he shows up at this wedding was the most anticipated moment for me because she was begging for help. And the fact that he just showed up like that,
That was the table turner for me.
And then later on, we learned that he was planning to get, like, drunk.
Yes.
So to miss the wedding and then having him show
Thank
up.
Thank God he didn't.
Like, but at the beginning, yes, I was,
oh my
like,
God, imagine if he had shown up drunk.
That would have been hilarious.
Fair and darling.
Hiccup.
It would have been amazing. But, like, yes, I started the Court of Mist and Fury first read, like, waiting for him to show up after, like, seeing him stumble and look at her like that and, like, I have a feeling towards this. And then he's not there. 3 months has passed and he's not there.
I feared that he wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
It was a fear of mine.
I think it was, like, kind of his way of giving her his space. And like
no,
that.
No, he was willing to give up on her just for Tamlin. Can you imagine that?
It was so adorable.
Just for her own
My
happiness.
Heart broke when I read that.
Right? Such selflessness.
Yeah. Like, who can ever reach this level
That's, like, kind... That's the perfect kind of love. Like, living... like, letting your mate be happy, even
regardless.
If you are not the thing that makes them happy at the moment. Like,
yes.
Letting them ride off into the sunset with another man just because it makes her happy and it makes you happy to see her happy, but it breaks your heart that it's not you, the thing that's...
The ultimate form of love is sacrifice.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but at the same time, it's empowering and... away
and scary.
It's like it's scary. Letting it's so her scary. Go letting her go is a form of loving someone.
Oh gosh, let's
not go there.
Let's not go there.
We wanted
We're
to talk about favorite moments, people.
So moments. Then they he starts to do this dance of teasing her and her being
the whole flirtatious
thing
and the flying shoe
and the flying shoe. I dare you.
That's one of my favorite moments, but my favorite moment is it totally broke my heart. I don't know why people don't focus on it more often. When he showed up at the cabin in the mountains where she was hiding.
Oh, but that's
first
later
of
on.
All,
first
of all,
let's stay in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to break your like.
We were just picking our favorite moments, weren't we? We're not going in chronological order.
Okay, go ahead.
Just slaughtered her timeline.
I guess I like that moment a lot because it just it just shows how not just what he can do for her emotionally, like how he can support her emotionally, but what he will physically do to get to her.
Yeah.
You know, because he couldn't
winnow. Yes.
He wasn't allowed, so he had to fly to every location he thought she could be, and like.
The fact that he did that. Oh, my God.
This leads
us to the point, I'd cross 1,000 oceans and sail across the sea.
Yes.
Oh, my God. My heart could not.
That's my favorite moment.
The length he'd go to.
Yeah, the length he'd go to.
It's really hard to pick just one specific moment out of the book to
That's
call it
true.
Your favorite.
That's true.
So I'm just
going to... I love them all.
Yeah, like, I don't know which one to decide upon. Like, the shoe one was... epic.
I love the moment where she's sitting on his lap in the night court.
That was a good one.
Of nightmares,
because that's
yes.
where she finally feels confident in her own skin.
Yes.
She feels beautiful.
Empowered.
She feels empowered. But in his lap. Which is the perfect combination.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what happened after was so heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, yeah. When she kept those bad words at him. Yeah.
When he tried to confront her of what she wants, and then she, to deflect, she told him, what if everybody saw what's inside and left? Why do you wear all these masks?
Yeah.
That hit hard.
Yeah, she cuts
That's
him very
harsh.
Deep.
And
I mean, after that, he left her for a few days at the townhouse and, like, I don't know, to recover, I guess.
Upset of her.
But I mean, on Starfall, He was a different Rhysand. He was more of a gentleman boy. I don't know. He was... I
In
can't put
sense?
My finger on it. He was bare.
Yeah, like an uncovered wire.
Yes, he
exposed.
Was...
Exposed.
He was exposed, yes. He was quiet in a way that... broke my heart.
And because she hit a nerve, you know?
She hit a nerve.
Exactly. She hit a nerve, and he felt like if he had said anything in that moment that he would expose himself even more.
I actually loved his reaction. I loved it. Like, that's the way to do it. Because if he had said anything
in that moment, it would have escalated, you know?
Exactly.
He would have said something, he would have completely regretted.
He did the smart thing. Honestly, Sarah, you're brilliant. Sarah J. Maas. Like, this leaves us to the question. Was he angry, or was he regretful, or was he just broken sad?
I think he was just broken sad because you know when someone points out the biggest flaw in yourself? Yeah. Something that you hate about yourself, and suddenly
someone you know is your mate.
Yes,
and, like,
someone you love is thinking the same thing about you. You'd be devastated, wouldn't you?
Devastated, but wouldn't it like put this feeling of anger? It's like I've exposed myself too much. Like this should have been like a me thing, not an.
No, I don't think it was anger.
I think he went in and he was like thinking maybe she's right. Maybe
yeah,
she challenged his beliefs.
Maybe I need to like. Be more open with my family and not cushion their feelings. They can take it. He knows who they are. I mean, they're great.
Yes.
And on Starfall, he was just... He wanted, I guess, to enjoy the night. And he had these shadows with him from under the mountain. And yeah.
It was beautiful.
Sigh.
Yeah.
He's such a beautiful character.
And like... Creature. But this wasn't the first...
He's such a beautiful creature.
And that wasn't just the vulnerable moment. There was one before when Feyre got under his nerve by smiling at Tarquin.
Ah, this moment.
And he was like, I'm jealous because it's so easy for anyone to do that with him, but not me. Everyone with me would be hunted and targeted and... Like, nobody sees him, so, he was just...
This broke me. Like, it broke me. I was broken for him. Yeah. Like, it put me in a very weird off mood for, like, the rest of the day.
But, you know, I have a thought. For me, it was kind of a way to push Feyre more towards towards Rhysand. Why? Because he took action when that started to happen between her and Tarquin, you know?
Like making her jealous?
It wasn't, her intention wasn't to make Rhysand jealous.
Of course.
She was actually considering to love Tarquin, mm-hmm. wasn't she?
Yeah, because she was a very lovable character.
Because he was easy to love, but then she realizes maybe easy isn't what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want easy.
She's a rough person.
Not exactly easy.
I love you.
I reciprocate what you give.
Not exactly easy. She wants to... I remember thinking...
God, this is why we're friends.
Girl!
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Keep going.
I remember her thinking that she needs... That someone who would understand that sometimes she can be vicious and sometimes she can be restless and sometimes she can, like, be ugly, and she wants someone to understand that. Tarquin would just be another Tamlin eventually.
Oh, yeah, like, it does make sense. He would be another Tamlin.
Yes, she needs someone who would understand, like, her rough edges.
Okay,
I started a theme here.
Yeah, and then came the famous quote.
No.
To the stars who listen in
and dreams, the dreams that are answered. My heart goes out for this quote.
Okay, so before the mate thing, you girls, before the mate thing, there was this moment in the cabin as well. Not moment, night. But I mean, the most, like... You know, I have this thing for going to bed and waking up. Like...
Very insightful.
No, we all do it. No, not in that going in bed. I always think about going in bed with my mate. Like, talking about stuff before sleeping and then
waking up. Pillow talk.
Yeah, pillow talk. Yeah. And then and cuddling and waking in each other's arms and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that moment was there first of, like, sleeping
with each other together. Next to each other.
Next to each other, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then the extra thing in it was the wing.
Him. Oh, that moment was so beautiful.
Yeah, that peacefulness of waking and finding yourself cocooned in that.
Like a burrito.
like a winged burrito.
And I can imagine, because she was describing how the sun was hitting, the light was hitting the room. And
one thing I love about her is how she talks about light and color. And
because, yes, she's an artist. Yeah. We need to keep that aspect in mind and alive, because an artist notices beauty. And yeah, that's what Feyre does.
Like, now I talk, like, I would describe the sky in saturation and highlights. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, there was that moment that was, like, something for me. And then her knowing that he's her mate. I like how she knew, by the way. It was such a surprise. Such a,
like, shocking moment. Yeah.
Shock. I was like, you know, I remember reading the book for the first time. And I read, like, that part. And I'm like, her mate?
Their her mates.
And I didn't sleep. That was like sort of after the half, after the
more
middle
than
of the,
half
book,
the book.
More than half of the book. And I was like, I didn't sleep. I slept that day at 5 a.m. or something. I finished the book one day, one go. So that was it for me. It was like, the I read that point. And I couldn't stop.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
And like that thing where, play later.
What?
Play later. When she was touching his wing and, yeah.
Oh. Oh, to know that that's the point.
Play later.
Play later.
I just, now I want winged men. Like, I'm sorry. You don't have wings. This won't work out.
Oh my god, winged men.
See,
I want winged men.
He ruins every guy's...
Every woman's expectations.
Woman's expectations.
What are men if they're not recent? I'm sorry,
And every guy's prospects, like, yeah.
I really want a shirt that's written on it, looking for my resend in a world full of Tamlin.
Oh my god, girl!
Whoa! I saw that on Pinterest. I saw that quote on Pinterest. It's actually printed on shirts.
It's so accurate. I want that. And no, the funny thing is that I'm pretty sure not
looking for
many people would understand this. Like, I'm sorry, girl. Who's Reese?
Who is Tamlin? Okay. So basically, Tamlin is every guy in this world.
Yeah.
Reese is from another world.
Yeah. Actually, I'm pretty sure that somewhere out there, I don't know.
Over
but
the rainbow?
Somewhere over the rainbow, there might be a Reese. I mean, you never know. Not all men are
Tamlins.
And definitely not all men are Reese. Yeah. But, like, I do believe that in the presence of a resend amongst the men that we live...
Encounter.
Like, you might have...
There has to be at least one resend
Come
among
on.
Them.
Yeah,
or
there
has
three.
To be.
Or three.
I mean, how much...
One of you
three. Or three.
Hopefully three.
What about the rest of the girls?
Yeah, their problem.
We'll look if they have brothers.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I mean,
if we find a resend, we'll ask if they have brothers.
Or maybe with a resend would come a Cassian and an Asriel, so...
Oh, yeah. I love them equally. Like, come on. I can't believe I'm saying this. But I love Asriel the most.
You do?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters because he has so many layers. He's got so many depths. Like, and I love a mysterious guy. I know Resend is mysterious to the world, but he ain't to Feyre. And Asriel is just this whole other level of beautiful. On such, like, you can't really read him. Like, what is your poor mind going through? Like, how he feels for Mor and how he shows it just melts my heart. And I feel like, boy, you should rest. Like, put your heart to rest. Put it at ease. I just feel for him a lot.
He has this quiet
vibe
thing
to him.
Going on,
like,
yeah.
he would be the person you'll need in distress. Like, he would be your grounding rock. He would... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would be the shoulder you can lie on. I don't know, but, like, I love you, Resend. I love you immensely, but I love
Azriel's my guy.
No, Azriel, I love him unconditionally.
Aw, that's cute. I mean, someone has to.
And I'm that someone.
I mean, I love the Court of Dreamers in general. I love how they came in together and
helped each other. You mean yeah. Cassian and Amrin and the Moor and Azriel.
Yes.
And Rhys.
Those
and
people.
And now Feyre. Yeah.
They have, at a certain point, they have become my family.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to say, for the people who have read this story one time, Nisma, hello, talking to you.
Yeah.
I would suggest read it again, because knowing their mates and seeing all the small things between them, his reactions to things you don't really understand his reaction, but like now we know. That's now you know true. How he truly feels inside after he said after he told her the story of being mates.
I don't want to read A Court of Thorns and Roses again.
No, just A Court of Mist and Fury.
Yeah, A Mist and Fury, I can do that. But yeah. Not A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Not A Court of Thorns and Roses. No. Like, even when I went to the second read, I started from under the mountain. I went to the moment where they met on Kellen May, then went to Under the Mountain, then started The Court of Mist and Fury. Like, it was like that. So yeah, it's different. Like, I read it two times after knowing their mates, and
wow, the perspective changes completely.
Yes, completely. Like, for example, when she came out from the meeting the bone carver, and he was like, "How? What did he appear to you?" Basically, their yeah. child. And yeah. remember, he was like moved by yeah. it, you know. He was like, you know, he would have went on one knee then and told her, "You're my mate, you know.
Yeah. Marry me now. Let's have babies.
Let's have him right now."
Oh my god.
And, he would have wanted her to like describe him more, but that would have given him away. I feel that. Anyway, so on many occasions like that, knowing she's his mate and what he was thinking then, and making her get the ring. Like,
oh, that was one of my favorite moments. Not gonna lie, the Weaver was so thrilling. It had me on the edge of my seat because Feyre and all her emotions and the thrill, and Rhysa just standing there, you know, watching. It's like a challenge or like this quiz or test, you know?
Yes.
Because
yeah.
this ring means
and it
something.
Was his way of honoring his mother. Like,
yes,
it was,
exactly.
He stayed back that. Just because this... of like.
I love
he
that.
He,
yes.
he was in that moment. He was with his mother, not Feyre. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah,
yes.
Here she is, mom.
Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. She's gonna get
my
it.
My mate.
That was a very lovely moment, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's move on to the threats generally. Highburn, their plans, everything. Okay, it was all very interesting, but what? Didn't just Amrin go to the King of Highburn and finish him?
Oh, when you start thinking of all the what ifs, there can be so many
what ifs.
Yeah. But I mean, it would have saved them a lot of pain.
But then we wouldn't have had a part 3 of the book.
Yeah. True. Yes.
See, it's the butterfly effect.
I mean, there has to be a reason why Amrin isn't being used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe because she's so destructive that it's just too much of a weapon, you know?
Yeah.
It's
better for everyone to just go the long way
yeah.
of connecting the book, getting the books and
yes,
like
yes.
talking to the queens and
yeah. It's safer, I guess, in a way.
And stealing the book and everything. Yeah. Yeah, but I like the plot. They took us to the summer court
yes.
and like to the human realm, and we got to be more with Elaine and Nesta and see that thing going between Cassian and Nesta, going and not going on at the same time. By the way, there is an extra scene about when one of the times when Cassian went to visit the girls to see if any word came from the queens or anything. There was a moment like there. We should read it. It was in one of the
It wasn't
editions.
In the book, yeah.
It was at the back of an edition like I read.
I missed that.
Yeah. You'll find it on the website, I think. So, yeah.
By the way, I'm living for, like, whatever's going to happen
Cassian
with...
Cassian and Nesta?
Yes, in the
Me
next...
Me too! Like, oh my god.
Brace yourself,
I'm not so
girl.
Much into Lucien and Elaine. I don't know.
Honestly, the only person I see Elaine with is Az. Yes. Azriel. They're yes. So, like, she can see the missing link in him. Like, they can both see the beauty within each other. And yeah, some moments yeah. of them together.
I think
just
Elaine can do
melt.
So much better than Lucien. No.
Okay, let's talk about what she did in the end and how he let her do it and, like, this thing. The what? Sacrifice they made. Her sacrificing, not him. And him sacrificing and, like...
Okay, the ending?
Yes, the ending.
Okay.
Like, how did this book end? Come on. Why? That was... You know, I finished the book a week before the third book came out, and I was...
Dying
inside. Dying. I couldn't stop thinking about the book. And, like, what would happen? Why did you do this to us, Sarah? I mean...
No, I think I absolutely love how the book ended.
Yeah,
I
mean...
It's just such an entertaining ending, you know?
Yeah. It was... for a moment, the ending took me back under the mountain. And yes. Now she's sacrificing again. Now she's doing it again.
Yes, but in a different way.
But
she's
in
doing
a different
it for
way.
True love. Not just for love.
Yes,
she's doing
for
it
her
for
mate.
True love.
And, like, revealing that they have another bond between them. The yeah. High Lady. And, like, for the first time, I
and
thought
she
they
was
would actually
pain?
Cut the mating
yes!
bond.
Yes.
That moment
oh my
was
God.
So heartbreaking.
I
in a way,
so
I cried without knowing that it didn't actually...
When I was yeah. reading that, by the way, I closed the book.
The intensity
and I literally took the pillow and I screamed into my pillow.
Yeah, I actually cried.
I was like, this is why I read books. This is yes. literally why I read books. This is the moment that I've been that I always wait for when books just make me feel something.
I felt so
that
much
I don't
anger.
Feel with anything else. Like
yes.
so much
yes.
passion
I felt
and anger.
Helplessness as well, like
yes.
after all this, after all they suffered, after him enduring all this, not telling her she's his mate and like everything, and then like that,
just like that, yeah. And, and really when he said that they married in secret and
yes.
he made her the
High Lady,
yes,
they
yes.
married though, no, not married,
no, he married her.
Yes, the ring. Yeah, yeah.
They
married
her.
And then the High Lady. Yes,
yes. She's everything now. She's his mate, his wife,
and
his
High
Lady.
Oh. My heart just...
And, like, how the court reacted more and Emrin and, like... Are you telling me that my High Lady is an enemy?
Yes.
In enemy hands right now and we're oh. here?
The protectiveness over her from all, like, her
yes,
family members
yes,
now.
Yes.
I love that. I lived for it.
And, like...
The one thing that I didn't like was the way they got caught. I didn't feel smooth. It just felt very abrupt. And you were like, what the hell's going on? You didn't feel like it was just, what was happening was justified. You know, it was just for the sake of the story.
Hmm.
You know? I didn't feel like they actually got caught.
Really?
It just felt like like Sarah J. Maas had no choice but to make these characters show up all of a sudden.
Hmm.
From my perspective. Like,
no.
It was a kind of a cliche, a little, because, like, the very last moment, right before they destroy the cauldron, the king appears. And it's like, you feel like it's like, this is too cliche.
But
and
I
too...
actually did believe that they could get away with it. The first time I was reading, I mean, that they can get away with it. And then, I don't know.
Isn't it so
yeah.
clear that
had
something
they,
will happen?
Had they gotten away with it, would have been the like the unexpected thing, turn of events. But then again,
but sweetie, where would be the downhill action?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You'll need that action.
You need something to happen.
Yeah. Or else, what's the point of the
yeah.
third book?
Exactly. So, but for me, the way it went down was a little
yeah.
too cliche for my taste.
Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit.
Like it could have been. I don't know. I guess there are some things that need to stay a cliche in order for a story to go
to
on.
Go on, yes.
Like, poor authors, we can't always think of something original. Like, sometimes we need to hold on to cliches.
But I mean, it was mind-blowing.
A little. Like, when Azriel got hurt, that's when my heart started pounding.
Oh, yes. And Cassian, his
yes.
wings.
Yes, yes, his wings were... I was so
and
damaged.
And how he was crawling toward Nesta and yeah, like, and the surprise yeah. of Lucien being Elaine's mate. That
yeah,
was,
yeah.
It's like, wait, she's my mate? She's my mate? Are you kidding me? You did this, you bastard.
And the way Feyre played it, oh my God, I was so scared that it
yeah.
wouldn't work.
Me
or
too.
That something
me too,
would happen.
Yes.
And like,
and when Rhysand played the act as well.
That like, they was, played it perfectly.
They played it perfectly.
My heart was, like, so weighed down by that scene. It was like...
Yes, yes. I was, like, the whole time while I was reading those pages, I was, like...
Swallowing
no,
a rock.
No, no, yes. No, 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 yeah. No, no.
But that's how you know that the writing is perfect. Was, yes, and the way he was screaming not to break the bond or...
Yes. But then again, they just separated the bond, not the mate.
The mating bond.
Mating
yes.
bond, yeah. Clever. So yeah, clever.
So clever.
But imagine, like, they had so much pain just removing the normal bond. Imagine how much pain they would feel if the mating bond was removed.
Feel oh like my god. Dying.
Yes. My
they
goodness.
Would die.
Then Tamlin would have never gotten his Feyre. Who's not his. I mean, he would have never gotten Feyre.
Yeah.
Tamlin sucks.
The moral of the story. Not,
moral of the story. Tamlin sucks. Don't be like Tamlin, kids. Be like Rhys.
Be like Rhys.
Yeah, so go, everyone. Find yourself a Rhys or two or three.
Share them around your people.
Okay.
Around talking... your women. We need help. We need to start a resend movement. Once you find one,
keep it.
Keep him.
Why did I say it? I mean him. Keep him. Oh, the thing is, we were talking about this whole thing from a woman's perspective towards how... what she wants in a man.
Yes.
Do you believe that Feyre is what a man would want in a girl? I don't think so.
I don't... Neither do I.
Like...
Wow, that's an interesting...
That is a very...
No, I don't think Feyre is, like, the perfect woman for
yeah,
a man.
Yeah, because Rhysand...
She just happens to be his mate because they have so much in common, but it's like, if you take Feyre from her image on her own, like, separating her from a guy, as a woman herself, I don't know if she's, like, a go-to person, you know?
Yeah, like, will she heal that? Will she be able to she was a good person to contain all yeah. the ups and downs of Rhysand, but she didn't do it the way he did. For yeah. some kind of reason, I feel like Rhysand just
is a better person than yeah. Feyre.
I don't want to. I didn't want to say
he's
that.
He's older. Feyre is really young, and we forget that.
Right. She hasn't. Not
wait.
Matured,
how old is
like,
he? He's not that old, is he?
He's like 500 years old.
Are you kidding me, Nisma?
Oh, I forgot that part.
Right. They're immortal.
Again, look. Sweetie, that's like some things I shut out of my mind because I don't want them part of my story.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like when someone has blonde hair, I want them to have black hair, not blonde hair. You know, like
yes.
yeah.
They're just these little things that I want to control, I don't want to let the author control the story for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just little things like in my head even. That was really strange when we read back to the wedding scene. In my head, the wedding dress was black.
It's only fitting.
Because for me, exactly like we said, for me it was fitting when it was supposed to be black in my head. Because she was walking down to her...
Death. Ultimate
not,
death.
Not death, but like walking down a darker path. So in my head, she was wearing a black dress, not a white dress. But we looked back at it and she was actually wearing a white dress. And I completely blacked out.
See what you did there?
The irony.
Blanked out.
Blacked, like completely erased the word white and I replaced it with black. And I don't know why. It
I
was
feel
subconsciously
like that's
done.
Something a writer would do.
Yeah, it's subconsciously done. I didn't do it on purpose.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So here it is, folks.
Folks.
Court of Mist and Fury.
Yes. Very misty, very furious.
Good one.
Yet extremely entertaining.
That's so true.
Entertainment is promised.
Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. I think it's paramount to say that this was one of the books that changed us in so many ways. We enjoyed having Selma with us in this chapter. I personally am glad we did this book together. I mean, it's only right, since I got both of them to read the series after all. Next chapter is about Selma. Defy Me by Tahereh Mafi, which Selma will be joining us in as well. My name is Haneen. Mark the page for chapter 12.